With cyber legislation stuck in neutral on Capitol Hill, the Office of Management and Budget is laying the groundwork for major cyber policy reforms. OMB has asked three alumni to develop updates to a critical document. Circular A-130 governs information policy functions, including capital planning and investment in cybersecurity. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us now with details on how the update is going to hopefully make it easier for agencies and inspector generals alike to ensure the security of IT systems. So good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So what's wrong with the A-130 now?
Well, I think there's a couple things going on. The first one, it's been a decade since the last update. And with so much has changed since that time, basically it's just a timing issue. You know, technology is much different today than it was in 2000 and 2002. So I think it's just one of those things that needs to be updated. But I think there's also a secondary and potentially just as important reason. The Office of Management and Budget believes it can address shortfalls in cyber policy whether or not Congress passes and President Obama signs a comprehensive cyber bill into law. Obviously, as you mentioned, the Senate is stuck. The House passed some of its versions. A lot of conversations going on Capitol Hill, but there's no guarantee anything is going to get through. So OMB is kind of taking some matters into their own hands. Frank Reeder is a former OMB official and now president of the Reeder Group. He is part of an effort to develop recommendations for OMB that includes Karen Evans, the former OMB e-government and IT administrator, and Dan Chenock, the former OMB official who's with the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. Reeder describes one of the cyber areas that the group is looking into and wants feedback on.
The circular is flatly out of date because it doesn't recognize the existence of DHS. OMB has since issued guidance is to revisit the whole question of the responsibilities in the circular, specifically to acknowledge and explicitly task DHS in some areas. This is the area that has created some heartburn on the Hill, we know. At the same time, we think that OMB has ample authority to address a large part of this. The role of GSA has certainly changed. In fact, some of the government-wide responsibilities that were assigned to GSA probably belong more appropriately now in DHS.
Now, Reeder, Evans, and Chenock presented their plans and asked for comments or suggestions yesterday at the Information Security and Privacy Advisory Board meeting at NIST headquarters in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Now, Evans says another area including for the update is around the idea of services. With the push to cloud computing, shared services, agencies are being told by the administration not to own their own systems, yet they're still being held responsible by inspector generals, by GAO auditors, for the security of those systems. Evans says that puts both the IGs and the agencies in a tough position.
The idea of getting rid of these physical types of it's an Oracle this or it's that, but it's more like here's the data and here is the service associated with that, and that becomes the new definition of how security then gets measured and progress or non-progress against that would be measured.
Now, a third area is whether to consider the development of a maturity model for cybersecurity. There are plenty of other examples of maturity models, software development, enterprise architecture. But the question that Evans had put out to the group yesterday was, could agencies assess the risk and decide which level of maturity meets their needs best and then work toward that level? And that's something that seems to get some attention and some support from the committee yesterday.
Now, Jason, it's never easy to update these OMB circulars. They're quite extensive. What are some of the obstacles this trio is going to face?
Well, I think that there's two big ones that came out from yesterday's discussion. The first one relates to continuous monitoring, obviously another administration priority. Evan says, how do they create an approach that takes into account what continuous monitoring looks like today, but also what it will look like in 5 or 10 years? And she says that it really all starts with the definition of a system. What is a major IT system? A-130 defines it in very specific terms, financial management, infrastructure. These are major systems. But with cloud computing and shared services, maybe it's time to start to change that definition. Evans offers this new approach to defining a system.
We actually start going back all the way back to looking at information, and I don't want to say classifications of information because I don't want to get into information classification, but information and its use. So think of the FIPS 199 and the risk associated with the different types of information, and that you would put groupings or security around the type of information that you are managing. So therefore, things like shared services or cloud services, or as technology evolves, you're really thinking about, I have information as an asset, and what is the risk associated with that, and then how do I measure that, and who is responsible for this grouping of information?
So you heard Evans talk about managing information as an asset. I mean, this is all part of this big push around data, and that data is the key to whatever you're trying to do versus, you know, the system is the key, like it was maybe 10, 12 years ago. If agencies can understand that information is their asset, then they can assign a risk profile to it and understand what happens if they lose it, if it gets hacked, and how to keep it secure. The second big obstacle is what Reeder calls the third rail of A130, redefining what a national security system is and what it isn't. Reeder says, for the most part, any system in one of those three-letter agencies, you know, NSA, CIA, DIA, does not come under A130. But similar systems in civilian agencies that are not in those three-letter world, but hold very similar classified data, may indeed come under A130, and then vice versa. Some systems that should be under A130 in the national security world doesn't, but it's really the same system that's in the civilian world. So Reeder calls this separation of these two types of systems a bright line in the law.
That bright line doesn't work for several reasons, in my opinion. One is, a substantial portion of our cybersecurity competence lives on, if you will, the dark side of the bright line, duplicating that technical capability on the civilian side, although certainly DHS and NIST are highly competent agencies, is plain silly, is plain duplicative. So it's an economic question, if you will. It's a fiscal question. The second is, as a practical matter, the line between those systems doesn't exist. Is a payroll system that is used to pay people in the Department of Defense fundamentally different from a payroll system in the security characteristics and the risks attendant to operating it as the payroll system for a civil agency? So we're trying to make distinctions where, as a practical matter, none exist.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. So, Jason, how is upgrading the circular actually going to trickle down and help agencies and inspector generals, for that matter, ensure that their systems are secure?
Well, I think Evans starts with the fact that if the definition of a system has changed, again, going back to that idea that a system is no longer just that hardware, software, that box in your data center, it would actually pull the IGs out of this compliance mold of having to follow the letter of the policy, which says a major system is. And if OMB includes the maturity model in the oversight process, it actually gives both agencies and IGs more of a roadmap to follow. In fact, one IG was at the Transparency and Advisory Board yesterday. Excuse me. It's Gail Stone is the Deputy Assistant Inspector General for Audit of Financial Systems and Operations Audits at the Social Security Administration. Again, she is a member of the advisory board. She says IGs may have a little bit of a problem with the maturity model. Maybe they'd give it some mixed reviews. But personally, she said, she thinks it would be easier to audit systems because they would have a solid baseline. And then once there's a few clarifications around some areas, such as a definition of systems, which she says forces IGs and agencies to have unnecessary conversations, it would be a much smoother process. Now, Frank Reeder describes the benefits to agencies and IGs in more simple terms.
The current regime, as a consequence of a lot of things, causes agencies to spend money on things that do not enhance security. So in that sense, you view the vision of Agency A to accomplish its mission and in a manner that doesn't have negative externalities, that doesn't do harm. A revision to A130 that would allow them to focus on real threats and mitigating real risk rather than responding to checklists would be in their interest. And I would say a substantial number of agencies get that.
So, Jason, what is the timing of this committee's work and how does it translate into an official act by OMB? And who gets final say on the revision once it's done?
Well, let me start with the first question. Reeder says the white paper and the recommendations should be due to OMB later this summer. From there, it's really anyone's guess of when the White House will even put out a draft revision of that circular A130. I did hear back from an OMB spokeswoman yesterday. Basically, they said, we have no comment on our efforts to revise A130. So their guess is, you know, they're kind of leaving it open to what their plans are. Now, the way that this, I think, would trickle down, obviously, OMB gets the final say with all of this, but I think it gets trickled down through the agencies. They'll have plenty of time to comment, plenty of time to offer opinions on what is in A130 and how it would work and how it would affect them. So this is going to be a long process, but it's one that I think many people believe is definitely needed.
And just to be clear about this, this committee of three people, former OMB people, they were sanctioned by OMB, and so they're working on OMB's behalf. They're not just freelancing this, correct?
Absolutely right. And in fact, it's much larger than these three people. They just happen to be more or less the people that are out in front of it. It includes GAO. It includes other experts, CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, because a lot of this is also based on the Commission for Cybersecurity for the 44th Presidency, which was done, if you remember, back in 2008-2009 timeframe, right before President Obama took office. So this definitely includes a wider range of people than just three.